Our first scripture today comes from the Old Testament, the book of Ruth, chapter 3, 1 through 5, and chapter 4, 13 through 17. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse and the father of David. Our gospel reading comes from the New Testament in Mark, chapter 12, 38 through 44. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which were worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. Now, I have to tell you that this was a struggle this week because I'm preaching from the Old Testament today, and I'm going to back it up to part of the scripture so you know the story before we get to where we read today. And so I always Google for jokes, you know, regarding the theme or whatever. I think I spent as much time searching for a joke this week than I did in writing the actual sermon. And that disturbed me. And they aren't that good at, well, one isn't. But one is so old, you all probably know the answer to. So anyway, that said, what was the first Supreme Court case in the Bible? Joshua judges Ruth. So you have to know the books of the Bible to get that one, because that's how they come in order. Joshua judges Ruth, 1 Second Samuel. Told you, it was bad. And that was one of the better ones. Can you imagine? And the Bible tells us that God loves a cheerful heart. Well, what kind of man was Boaz before he married? He was ruthless. Ruthless. See, he marries Ruth. That one I liked. Our Old Testament lesson today is from the book of Ruth. And whenever a woman's story pops up in the lectionary, I try to preach from it, because women's stories are often so overlooked or turned into fairy tale narratives. And this is true of Ruth, who is one of only two women to have a book of the Bible named for them, Ruth and Esther. Now, in spite of Ruth doing some remarkably brave, gutsy things, Evangelicals usually present the story as a Hallmark romance. She is not a Disney princess who overcomes adversity and finds romance with Boaz playing the hero who comes to her rescue. I mean, that just doesn't begin to cover the story of Ruth. Hers is more like a reality show, like Survivor, currently in its 47th season. It continues to bring under-equipped and scantily clad adventurers to desert islands or some other remote place, challenging them to live off the land for about 30 days. And the contestants compete to see which one avoids getting voted off the island in hopes of claiming bragging rights as the sole survivor. But it's not just bragging rights. They also get a nice $1 million prize, which helps make up for the starvation rations, bug bites, sunburn, and eating bugs. They had to do that this past week. Ooh. The show has come a long way since its beginning, with contestants being much more cutthroat than before. Alliances mean very little, and it's definitely everyone for themselves. Well, the story of Ruth is a survivor story. It could be probably more accurately labeled the story of Naomi. Will Ruth and Naomi survive the island, or will they be voted off? Well, let's dive into some background. Forced from their home in Bethlehem because of famine, Naomi, her husband Elimelech, and their two sons settle in the nearby country of Moab, just across the Dead Sea from Judah. And while there, their sons marry local girls, Orpah and Ruth. Trivia: Oprah Winfrey was really supposed to be named Orpah, but they spelled it wrong on her birth certificate. Fact. It was supposed to be Orpah. Anyway, well, within 10 years, the family's menfolk have all died, and Naomi is left without her sons and her husband. And this is a crisis of monumental proportions for this story, because without a man's protection, horrible things can happen to these women. This is the crisis of the story. And although Ruth's loyalty to her mother-in-law forms the emotional crux of the story, it is Naomi's resourcefulness that resolves the narrative crisis, and it is the resolution that makes the story hers. The ancient Near East was a man's world. Men were primary, women were secondary, if they were lucky. I mean, a cow might be valued more than they. They were very dependent upon the male person in their household. Women were just one step from property. They had no rights to speak of. They were utterly and completely dependent on their husbands. And unfortunately and very sadly, there are segments of American evangelism which are still a man's world. Well, with the men of her family dead, Naomi is forced to take charge, which she does, foreshadowing her actions in today's reading. Hearing that the famine in Judah had ended, she prepares to return to her ancestral land. And initially, her two daughters-in-law accompany her, but Naomi realizes this is a bad idea, since the Moabite women's chances of a remarriage and families are much greater in their own country than in hers. And Orpah agrees and returns to her own family, but Ruth insists on remaining with her mother-in-law. And Ruth's unexpected action introduces the book's major literary and religious theme, which is loyalty, faithfulness, and loving kindness. And her words are some of the most famous in the Bible and are often used in wedding ceremonies. But they are not a romantic statement between two young lovers, but a statement of love for a young woman for her mother-in-law, who she values as her own mother. And she says, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." Beautiful poetic words. Well, thus begins the survivor story of Ruth and Naomi. They know their only hope is finding a husband for Ruth. They return to Naomi's hometown, Bethlehem, where they are greeted by some of the older woman's friends. And they are saddened to hear her story, and they understand what a difficult position she is now in. She has no man to provide protection for herself or her daughter-in-law who has come with her. I mean, you know, it was bad enough Naomi showed up on her own, but she's brought this beautiful, widowed Moabite daughter-in-law with her, another mouth to feed. Well, there's a man in Bethlehem named Boaz, who is a relative of Naomi's late husband. And the two women head for his farm, hoping he'll be able to help them. It's the time of the barley harvest, and lots of workers are out in the fields bringing in the crops. And Ruth and Naomi follow behind the harvesters, picking the grain that has been left behind. And this is a time-honored custom which continues today, at least in this church. What is that called? Gleaning, exactly. The law of Moses commands Israelite farmers to leave a little grain behind in the fields so that people who are poor can have something to eat. Well, Boaz notices this young woman, Ruth, following behind his hired laborers. And by now he has heard her tale, this story of his kinsman's widow, Naomi, and the extraordinary loyalty of her daughter-in-law. And Boaz places the two women under his protection. He assures them they will always have enough food to eat as long as they are on his land. And that could have been the end of the story if not for Naomi having another plan up her sleeve in this game of survivor. So now we're going to move into the elimination game of the threshing room floor. Dun, dun, dun. Now comes the part of the story that can be a little difficult for us to understand in our modern society. Now remember, this is a polygamous society. There are wives, multiple wives, and there are also concubines, female slaves who have physical relationships with their master. I mean, from our standpoint, this is a horrible, oppressive system. But it was a different place, a different time, a different set of social ethics. So in no way can we endorse the practice, but we can acknowledge it as historical fact. Ruth and Naomi are in desperate straits. They have no means of financial support. There's nothing ahead of them but slavery. And among all forms of slavery or near slavery is to be the concubine of a good and kind man, such as Boaz is about as good as a homeless Moabite woman and refugee like Ruth can expect. And both she and Naomi are fully aware of this, and Ruth is resigned to her fate and possibly doesn't really consider it anything out of the ordinary. And she welcomes the prospect of three square meals a day and a roof over her head. So Naomi advances her plan of survival. An essential part of the harvest was threshing the grain. And farmers would take the newly harvested stalks of grain to a pavilion with a hard-packed dirt floor. And there they would beat the grain on the ground, separating the edible portions from the chaff, which blows away in the wind. And during a busy harvest, it was not uncommon for the workers to labor from sunup to sundown, rolling out their bedrolls at night on the threshing floor. This is the harvest, the season of fertility. This is a time when men and women entertain thoughts of love, shall we say. And late at night on the threshing room floor, things happen that aren't mentioned in public company. In other words, what happens on the threshing room floor stays on the threshing room floor. You've got the picture. Boaz is asleep, wrapped up in his bedroll. "Go to him," says Naomi to Ruth. "He's a good man. He's already noticed you. He admires your beauty. Lift up the corner of his bedroll and crawl in with him. Let nature take its course." Which sounds pretty promiscuous to our ears. Not exactly the family biblical values espoused by society today. But there you have it, right in the Bible. However, Boaz is a man of principle and thinks too highly of Ruth to just make her his concubine. Early the next morning, before anyone else is awake, he sends her away so no one will notice. And then he goes about the necessary steps to marry Ruth legally. So Naomi and Ruth have outwitted, outplayed, and outlasted any competition and achieved more than they could have ever dreamed. They are the dual survivors of this story, which has a joyful follow-up. Ruth and Boaz have a son whose name is Obed. And that child will grow up to father a son of his own named Jesse, who will in turn father a child named David, who will become king over Israel. And Ruth is one of the few women listed in the lineage of Jesus. Remember what the Gospels say about Jesus. He is of the house of David. Ruth is an essential link in the chain of events leading to the birth of another babe of Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. So the story of Ruth and Naomi has a happy ending, which is why so many people have come to love it. We all experience losses in life, and sometimes those losses seem catastrophic. And yet there is always hope. A loving God works silently behind the scenes with the power to bring triumph out of tragedy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.